This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Deceptively Fast Podcast number 14. It's 14 in French. I am joined today by Paul Gallant. Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
Paul's my co-host on my morning radio show here in Houston. I'm probably going to be having him on at least once a week during the season for as long as I can get away with not paying him until we start running commercials on this thing. And then he'll probably try to stage a walkout or something. By then you guys will be hooked on him and then we'll have to bring Paul in. So does that sound like a plan to you, Paul?
That sounds good to me. And as Sports Radio 610 well knows, I do things often for much, much, much beneath what my actual value is. And I don't care because I don't understand my own value.
There's this movement with the millennials and younger where people my age are saying, hey, don't write things for free. These blogs are going to try to get you to write things for free for publicity. Don't do it. And people your age are like, well, okay, but like I actually do need publicity.
You need
and
to build a following. Yeah. Right. I mean, so for me, even though I don't get paid for the other things that I do, I get paid for the TV show I do with John Lopez, which is Sports Zone Unfiltered. But I've been trying, and this has been something that's really tough for me to do because I procrastinate like a motherfucker. I need to write more. I actually did a blog post this week. Are more blog posts going to come? I don't know.
I tweeted your blog post out.
I appreciate that.
There's people that you hate hearing from even more than Ray Lewis.
Right. There's an amusing anecdote about the speaker that I had for my 2011 commencement. The person who I think was either valedictorian or salutatorian, right, of Newhouse School of Communications, essentially gave the same speech that Billy Madison gives in the academic decathlon, except for instead of the speech being about how the Industrial Revolution and the puppy who lost its way relate, it was a 22-year-old that doesn't have a job explaining through the story, if you give a mouse a cookie, how our lives are about to take off.
Did he do it intentionally?
No.
Like a satire? Oh, it just ended up being a stupid speech.
It was a dumb speech, and this person, again, was either the top or second in Newhouse School of Communications, which was supposedly this prestigious worldwide communication school.
You can follow Paul at Gallant Says on Twitter. What are you on Instagram?
Paulie Gallant.
I'm getting on the gram myself. Seth C. Payne on the gram.
I mean, you did the selfies with Seth during the Super Bowl. I feel like you have a good eye for pictures. The gram is where the future of social media is right now. I don't know how it's going to change.
Is Snapchat falling out of favor? Are
no
the kids already
Snapchat
sick of Snapchat?
Anymore.
That was a thing for like 3 months, wasn't it?
Right. I only use Snapchat to send private messages.
You know, so it's like, still good for that?
It's still good for that. But Instagram basically copied Snapchat. I mean, the only thing that Snapchat has on Instagram is like geolocation. And hell, Instagram might already have that at this point.
It seems like Instagram's doing a good job of absorbing all these other functions that other apps already have.
They just rip everyone off. Yes.
And Facebook is just completely dead to the younger generation.
Facebook is basically a tie-in to Instagram. So Instagram and Facebook have some sort of partnership with one another. So the thing that Instagram's took from Snapchat most recently was the story feature. So you send like a picture or a video of what you're currently doing so people can see what you're doing and it disappears after 24 hours. Now it's actually posting to your Facebook. So Facebook stories now exist and they're happening through Instagram.
Okay. I gotta sit down and think about this.
I know,
this
right?
For a
it's so
while.
Complicated.
I'm trying to like every week I make a new resolution. I'm gonna be more active on social media. And then like 2 hours into it, I'm like, I hate people.
I can't do this. It's so tough. I mean, Twitter is just a dark void of despair. But
because of the politics, it didn't used to be so dark. But once politics became so pervasive on Twitter and then the way politics has become, it just filters into everything else.
Yes.
It leaches out into every other like sports, entertainment, everything.
And meanwhile, Instagram is actually a fairly positive experience because for the most part, you're just seeing pictures.
Right.
And
like you got to go out of your way to be a jerk on Instagram, right? Where you have to psychologically think like, oh, that's a picture of a person.
Right.
I'm going to be mean to that person right there.
The accounts I follow are friends. Then there are joke accounts on Instagram, which are amusing to me. So they'll put memes up and stuff. Barstool Sports is perhaps most successful with its Instagram pages, and they have several of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They post these viral videos, essentially. Uh-huh. So it's like the new YouTube
and
Instagram.
Because they've got a whole network of people sending them videos,
exactly,
right? So they're just filtering through it and kicking them back out.
Some people send them. Otherwise, they find them and they curate them their own. But Instagram is a very positive experience these days. And you're right. Like, you have to really look for something bad. For me, I follow people I like. I follow joke accounts. And I also follow Instagram models because I'm a pervert.
No, you're a young single man. You're like Joe Namath when he was giving that interview around the pool table. Like, hey, I'm a young single man. What do you want me to do? I'm going to go out and I'm going to enjoy the fruits of being a young single man.
Exactly. I'm just looking. I'm not touching.
Yeah. But you're allowed to touch, too.
That is true. That is very true.
This is how it's going to go, everybody. For the most part, over the next 6 months, really, over football season, I'm going to try to put out at least two podcasts a week.
Ambitious.
Probably at least three when I get down to it. We're solidifying a few things. We're going to end up hosting the podcast on the Entercom app, radio.com, so I can still do it with my employer and I'm not pissing anybody off. But I'm gonna basically start off with football at the beginning of everything, and then I'll slowly work in circles outward towards health and fitness and science and pop culture and all those things. But I'm going to give you at least a little bit of football at the beginning of everything. I'm almost also working on bringing in a few weekly guests, some somewhat bigger names in NFL, some former players and executives that may or may not be on board. I'll
do
have
it.
More details there.
Do it. Yes. Yeah, get bigger names than me. I appreciate being on. But
I can only give them the shaft on the pay for so long. Like, yeah. I got to start paying them immediately. Paul, I've given you vague promises of like, hey, come September or maybe, you know, March. You know, the money will be rolling in.
Since I'm such a new part of the morning show, I'm just a whore for any publicity whatsoever.
So follow Gallant at Gallant Says on Twitter. Preseason football. I find myself more and more excited this year than I've ever been before. And I think it's because of the quarterbacks.
Oh, definitely.
I think there are just so many more actual viable quarterbacks right now. And rookie quarterbacks are capable of playing better now than I think we've seen in a long time. And you can just kind of envision them coming in and doing something earlier. This weekend, we got a bunch of games on Thursday. I'm genuinely excited for these guys. And tell me who you're also excited about. Baker Mayfield. We're going to see a bunch of Baker Mayfield. If he's not the starting quarterback, you got to play Baker Mayfield a bunch in the preseason.
If I had to pick, and this is not because of this has nothing to do with the situations that they're all in, but going into the draft, Baker Mayfield was my favorite quarterback in this year's draft class. And I am excited to actually see him get to play. And I'm also intrigued because Cleveland has so many young players. The tricky thing with the preseason now is I don't know who ends up playing and who doesn't end up playing. It seems like teams have gotten into this mode where they realize that the practices that they have are much more valuable than the actual games. So we're seeing fewer and fewer meaningful players play a serious amount of time. I feel like even in the third preseason game, we've started to see teams going away from the traditional, hey, let's play the whole first team for a half.
Oh, it used to be really simple and basic. It was, hey, first preseason game, the starters will play a quarter. Second preseason, you play two quarters. Third preseason, you play three quarters. And then the fourth preseason, they did used to play starters in the fourth preseason a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's strange to even think about now. Now everybody's on mothballs. The Rams are playing the Ravens. I'm excited to
Lamar.
See, for the second time in a row now, we're going to see some Lamar Jackson. We're going to see some RG3. This is one of the actual intriguing things about training camp this year is RG3 going to be able to latch on as a quarterback on an NFL franchise?
He temporarily made it move for a little in the first game of the season. Temporarily. It didn't last very long. As far as Lamar Jackson's concerned,
It
wasn't bad.
RG3, it was almost like seeing the homecoming queen at your 20-year reunion, mm-hmm. where you're like, oh, wow, she's still kind of the same person, and that's enough. I remember what she was like, and that's enough.
I expected a lot worse, but he was moving around fairly well. He does not have very good pocket presence anymore, but there are a couple of plays that he made while moving around that were impressive. Again, it's just nice to see that he is not a complete husk at this point, and I was pissed off that we had to wait until the second half for Lamar Jackson. I mean, and on top of that, Lamar Jackson's first series, we get a big smattering of Ray Lewis on top of that.
I'm glad that he waited until the second half because Lamar Jackson is not shying away from contact at all.
No, he I'd rather see him get slide.
I'd rather see him get tackled by the C squad. Like, work on that. You've got that film to work with. But before some murderous all pro comes up and hacks his head off, like, he's got to start to learn to avoid contact.
He's lowering his shoulder. I mean, what are you doing? You know, we all remember Lamar Jackson as being very wiry at Louisville, and maybe he's packed on a little bit of weight, but you're not Cam Newton, man. Cam Newton is a giant battering ram. Like, imagine Cam Newton. I go back to this story where Drew Bledsoe and Max Lane, they were at a club, and they threw themselves into the audience, and it resulted in some lawsuits.
Oh, that's right. I just think of that.
What would have happened if Cam Newton had done that? Cam Newton is like a nuclear missile descending on these people.
Well, from all between size and... you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's
like in Boston.
Shit.
He's in Boston.
Oh God, especially in Boston. But Lamar Jackson, you're not that. You're definitely not Cam Newton.
Well, that's one of the other intriguing things. So, Kelvin Benjamin, former receiver for the Panthers, who is now with the Buffalo Bills, spouted off about how, man, imagine what I could have done if I had a quarterback who knew what he was doing and was actually accurate. He was taking shots at Cam Newton. And a couple things about that. One, he's now with the Buffalo Bills, who just drafted Josh Allen, who's not accurate at all. But I didn't realize they're playing this week, that the Panthers and the Bills are playing in the preseason.
Oh, I didn't either.
Holy shit. I doubt Cam Newton plays at all. We might see some Josh Allen trying to connect, or Nathan Peterman trying to connect, or AJ McCarron trying to connect.
I think we'll ultimately end up seeing Josh Allen late in the game, and we will see a lot of Nathan Peterman, because if I'm the Bills, I want to advertise to as many teams as possible that even though we're out on the Nathan Peterman experiment, because I mean, look at all the interceptions he's thrown in both the games that he played. I know he was young, all that shit, but I think they're already out on Nathan Peterman, and I think they want to advertise to as many people as possible. Hey, this is what Nathan Peterman could be for you.
That's a really good point. It's in their best interest to really, they'll give him the Ryan Mallett experience, where a few years ago, wow, Ryan Mallett, just look at him. Yeah. Did you see how many balls he completed in 7-on-7? He's a pro quarterback. What do you think?
So you might want to wait until the second half for that game. I could be totally wrong there, but I imagine you'll see AJ McCarron and Peterman in the first half.
Well, it was the same thing as Osweiler in Cleveland last year. Like, let's see, God help us. We got to try to market this guy somehow, some way. Let's pretend like he's actually a starter. The one other guy I'm interested in seeing, just because there have been good reports out of him, Mason Rudolph, the rookie quarterback with the Steelers who was just drafted. Reports are that he's really good. Mm-hmm. If he does work out, then he'd be the next in line. I hear Mason Rudolph, and I can't stop myself from thinking Mason Plumlee and then thinking like every other Plumlee. And I can't take him seriously until I stop envisioning Mason Plumlee in my mind.
He's handled the whole Ben Roethlisberger being a bit of a dick thing fairly well. So I'll give him credit for that. As far as I'm concerned, I want to see Sam Darnold play. I don't know what's going to happen with Darnold. I want to look at him objectively, but I can't help but say he is a USC quarterback. He has had things handed to him essentially his whole life. He plays in a conference that doesn't have that much talent top to bottom in the Pac-12. And on top of that, I mean, USC quarterbacks always have the best supporting cast possible. How is he going to handle being in New York? He's really young, but I'm not feeling the Sam Darnold movement.
I wonder if his preseason has anything at all to do with what they plan on doing with Teddy Bridgewater. Because Teddy, and that's another one of the intriguing guys you're going to see in the preseason. The Teddy Bridgewater, what's he look like?
He
was available to everybody in the NFL, and not everybody wanted him, and there are a lot of concerns about his health. So what does Teddy Bridgewater look like, and does he have any value? So I would imagine you're going to see a lot of Teddy Bridgewater. They're going to try like hell to make him look good, but I don't know, depending on how Darnold looks, okay, do we keep Bridgewater in the fold, or if Darnold looks like he really might be ready, then do we ship him out?
Yeah.
Because you have McCown, too. I mean, you've got a crowd.
Right, very, very crowded quarterback room, but like not a bad quarterback room to have if you're the New York Jets for a change. This is actually like a good one. The one other thing I want to see Saquon Barkley for the New York Giants. I don't know how many reps he will get in that first preseason game for the New York Giants, but I mean, you have had the last 2 years, top 10 running backs have incredible impacts for their respective teams. Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette. If Barkley does it again, I mean, I think we have to reevaluate the way that teams are drafting. If you keep on getting this kind of success out of running backs, then, I mean, why are we so scared? And our co-host on Mad Radio, Mike Meltzer, does not like the idea of drafting a running back in the top 10 picks. I feel like we got to reevaluate, especially if Barkley comes on and bursts onto the scene like a lot of people are expecting him to.
It's always the way the pendulum swings, too. Like, as soon as everybody starts undervaluing a position, then you can jump on and snatch. And look, the Patriots drafted an injury-prone running back
who's dealing with injuries right now.
We might not see him the Sony entire Michelle. Time. Barkley, just because I've Eli Manning gushing over Barkley's legs and how much he stares at them in an almost an erotic fashion has got me intrigued to see Barkley.
Good for Eli Manning. You know what? You can appreciate a man's physique. You
can do it in a way that, 20 years ago, he might have been ashamed to say that. People are more open about it. You know what would have happened 20 years ago? People would have made way more jokes about it. And we would have, and you would have gotten away with, saying a lot of really pretty ignorant stuff. Be like, hey, did you see that Eli said almost mildly homosexual? Let's make jokes about it for the next 4 weeks, and we'll tag every joke with not that there's anything wrong with it.
I'm someone with negative body issues, and I'm just reminding myself of last night. I was watching the Bachelorette with a group of friends, and this girl that I've been on a couple of dates with, she's sitting next to me, and at some point we I don't know why we were comparing thighs, and she said, I think I have bigger thighs than you, and I was like, God damn it, fuck.
No, there's no response to that. What are you gonna say? Those are thunderous.
I said in response, I was like, well, I actually felt ashamed. I was like, shouldn't I have bigger thighs than you because I'm a man? And then I was like, well, I mean, I have a pretty nice ass. I mean, how do you feel about that?
That's a good pivot there.
Right,
but you got away from the situation altogether. You don't end up bragging
legs.
About your own leg size.
These social media dating apps are interesting. I was on this app, I think it was Hinge, and I matched with somebody, and they give you a little bit of information to send your first line. And she said, I'm into fitness. If you have chicken legs, don't message me. And I said, well, I sort of have chicken legs, but I also have quite the tuchus. And she unmatched with me immediately.
Oh. What's wrong with her?
I don't know. What a bitch. I hate her.
Nah, she's the equivalent of fitness dude that's way too into himself. A lot of girls will specifically avoid shredded fitness dude because they think, and sometimes unfairly, oh, this guy's all about himself and he's going to be counting carbs instead of paying attention to me.
But I mean, I don't know. Sarcasm gets lost in message form.
That's
just
true.
Twitter.
She might have thought you were a weirdo.
Right, yeah.
She might not know what tuchus. She might have thought tuchus was a racial slur. Look at this Nazi coming after me.
I feel bad for calling her the B word. Oh, well. Sad day. Welcome to the podcast.
One of the other big themes, obviously, in the preseason is the new helmet rule, the lowering of the helmet rule, which was invoked 3 times in the first preseason game at the Hall of Fame game. Viking safety Andrew Sandejo. Wait, is it Anderson?
Andrew Sandejo.
Yeah, it's Andrew. I always want to say Anderson. Why is that? Andrew Sandejo. He's been wearing a hat that says "Make football violent again." I sense that you're nervous about football becoming a little too castrated.
Well, I feel that this is a problem across all sports. Referees are incompetent.
No, that's a good point.
Part of it has to do with they are now obsolete because we have, if you're watching a game at home, you can see everything that happens. It's not even their fault that they're incompetent, but they just can't compare to these replays. And this is going to result in a lot of paused games, and this isn't good for any sports. I'm big into cutting the time down. I mean, college football games last 4 hours now. I like college football, but the 4 hour side of things needs some changes. Football does not need delays in addition to making it extremely difficult. Again, adding an extra
you're
element
adding
for defensive
judgment
players.
Calls that,
judgment now, calls
but now that aren't reviewable
players.
Except in case of ejection, as far as I understand
right.
So there, at least, you're going to have judgment calls that affect games. The fact that it's not reviewable is going to... This seems like the kind of rule that they're not going to get rid of, but could end up becoming reviewable, which would be unbearable. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it can't be as simple as this. You use the rugby rule where you have to wrap. You have to wrap when you tackle. If you don't wrap when you tackle in rugby, it's a foul. And it's simple. Like, it's really easy to officiate. You're either doing it or not. There would be helmet-to-helmet contact, but you can't. It's impossible to use yourself like a missile if you're not if you're also rapping while you tackle.
Yeah, no, that's true, because you are going to slow up just a little bit at the end.
And you have to come up. You got to be a little bit more vertical. You got to keep your head up and your torso up to be able to actually rap somebody.
How many times would you say you tackled in a way where you weren't wrapping up?
It's hard to say, because a lot of times you're just taking guys' legs out.
And just, if you're like, just throwing yourself on the ground.
If you're diving at them, or if you're off balance or something, you're not wrapping up perfectly, you know?
Right. Because you're in a different spot. You don't have like a lot of forward momentum going at a lot of these players, unless tackling, it's a quarterback.
I think tackling's actually gotten better in the past decade because of a lot of this stuff. That's what's ironic to me, is I think in a lot of ways, these new rules are actually creating more old school football. And by old school, I mean like 1950s, 60s, and 70s. It really wasn't until the 80s and 90s where things got like, hey, I'm going to launch myself at this dude and try to get the turnover at all costs versus actually making a form tackle. I see way more form tackling now than I did in the last 20 years.
But this is where I get a little concerned. And I forget where specifically this happened in the first preseason game of the season between the Ravens and the Bears. But there was a play, I want to say it was a Ravens wide receiver catching the football, and a Chicago Bears safety tackled him. It looked like a form tackle.
Right.
Perfect. Like, he got square, put his shoulder into him, wrapped him up, drove him into the ground, and they called a necessary roughness. I don't know if it was because of the helmet. I don't know if it was because...
I think it was because the officials not know what they're doing yet. Okay. Like, that's where I don't get concerned about those in the preseason, because they always focus on something in the preseason and they call it way more than they're going to during the regular season. I remember one year it was defensive holding with the defensive line,
and
it was terrifying, because you know why? Because I was on the teaching video. They showed me,
really?
They showed a teaching video of defensive holding, and they, like, there were four examples and two of them were me. There was a plot against me. It was the plot against Seth that preseason, and I did end up getting more during the regular season. I felt like they'd poisoned the officials' minds.
What year was that? Was this 2003, 2004?
That was right around then, because I remember we lost a game to Jacksonville where we had stopped them on fourth down, but the call got overturned, or I got flagged for defensive holding, and the Jaguars got a first down and ended up kicking a field goal.
Yeah,
it hurt. It hurt bad. Did I hold? Possibly, by the strictest interpretation of the rule.
I had a similar experience where a penalty may have cost my team the game, but it was definitely a lot more blatant. I was playing a pickup basketball game. I was morally opposed to the idea of cherry picking. There was a guy cherry picking on the opposition. I thought to myself, I'm fast. I'm going to run him down and hurt him.
Yeah.
So I just drilled him out of bounds. Not only does he make the layup that he threw up, but he also gets a free throw for an and one and a technical foul free throw. 4-point play, we lose by 1 point. None of my friends talked to me the rest of the day.
Because it was you. Because you've got a history in the past, too. Right. Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't like just random, like, oh, Paul made a mistake. It was like, no, Paul's core constitution showed up like it always does.
Cost us an undefeated season in the regular season of the intramural basketball year.
So, Odell Beckham Jr., depending on when you're listening to this podcast, maybe this already happened. Maybe you heard an earlier report that was corrected by a later report. Josina Anderson was reporting that he was ready to walk out because talks were breaking down, where other people reported that, no, actually, they're pretty close to making him the highest paid wide receiver. I've gone in the last 4 or 5 months from being really nervous about paying Odell Beckham Jr. a lot of money to realizing, all right, the dude is magnificent. He's got his own little weird quirks and diva qualities, but pay him now. He's young. He's going to be electric. And if you want to get the absolute most out of Eli Manning, if you had a young quarterback that was going to be around for another decade, then I might say, like, okay, be the hard asses and make him wait and set the example. Eli Manning might have like 2 years left in a max. You got to get the most out of him, and that means having Odell Beckham.
He is undersized compared to some of those bigger players. He's in that sort of Antonio Brown mold, and Brown got the big-time contract. I think when you're coming off of that injury, the ankle injury, there might be a little bit of hesitation. But if anyone's seen the workout videos that he's put out there this summer, he looks exactly as he always does. Again, I know workout videos in the off season, but
this dude, if he gets paid, is...
Do you
is he
going to
change his
him?
Lifestyle?
I think his lifestyle is already pretty something.
Yeah, okay, he'll be jet setting and everything. I do worry with the money that guys make today, and I'd include just even rookies on their rookie contract. The fact that they're able to fly to Miami like so easily and maybe all get together and get a private jet, it's different. old days, you'd go out on a Sunday night if you're an irresponsible young guy. You might party and not go to sleep at all, but then show up and work out at the facility on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. Now it's turned into like, hey, we're all going to Vegas, or hey, we're going to South Beach. That's a whole different level. Like, you don't recover from that. I don't care if you're flying private or anything. You don't recover from that as easily.
Right, and it probably wasn't the best idea for Odell Beckham Jr. and his friends slash teammates to go to Miami the week of the wild card game against the playoffs. It obviously didn't end well for Odell Beckham Jr. To say that that was the reason he sucked is a bit of a stretch, but it didn't help that he had a bunch of drops in that game.
It's a bad... Look, if you're going to do it, you got to back it up.
Exactly.
Like, you just got to, you got to be the guy that shows up despite all that. And you're like, oh my God, this guy's superhuman.
Or do a better job of keeping it private. Like, what was the point of posting the picture where everyone's shirtless wearing jeans on a boat? Why the fuck are you wearing jeans?
Was the picture taken in the morning? Was it like early Monday morning when they're on the boat?
Nobody knows for sure. I'm not 100% sure when. And I suppose that if you're out on the water in Miami during January, it could be a little bit nippy. It might be in like the 60s or something like that, but you got the shirt off. Like, pick one or the other.
Last thing, baller move of the week. As much as I despise Bill Belichick at times just because I'm sick of him, he was at the Hall of Fame induction. Both he and Bob Kraft were there to watch Randy Moss, who'd played for the Patriots, and a picture emerges of Bill Belichick posing with Randy Moss next to the trophy, or next to the bust, and Belichick's wearing flip-flops with khakis and a dress shirt.
I've got a question. Why are flip-flops so frowned upon? We live in Houston. It's hot as hell outside. You wear shoes, your feet are going to become lakes.
It's the disparity. I think, well, for one, yeah, people that don't think guys should ever wear flip-flops ever, go screw yourselves.
Yeah, like live in Florida or Texas, and I'm sorry, you're going to think otherwise.
It's thinking like, okay, this is a nice event. I'm going to wear khakis and a dress shirt, and then, so you're showing that you care enough about social convention to do that, but then just throwing on a pair of flip-flops is that little extra element of, like, I don't give a damn, which for a guy like Belichick is the ultimate alpha move, because he's showing that, like, look, I'm going to wear whatever the hell I want. I like it because it's an alpha move that's accessible to anybody, and you see a lot of people go through life like wearing flip-flops in various circumstances where you're like, damn, that guy doesn't give a fuck. The problem is that guy that's not Bill Belichick, he's like not getting a mortgage. Like, he's showing the alpha move that he doesn't care for the conventions of society, but when you walk into the bank like that, you're not getting the mortgage.
Well, I don't, it's not that I wouldn't care about the conventions of society. I think that the conventions of society with flip-flops is fucking stupid. Like, they're comfy. If they're really nice flip-flops, say they're like...
Yeah, but you're talking about two different elements. You're talking about flip-flops where you're just wearing them in casual situations versus flip-flops like in a business setting.
And I'm not talking about like wearing like a pair of like $8.99 ones that you get like a Target or something like that. I'm talking about say you really invested.
You're talking
about thongs. Say you really invested in a high quality pair of sandals. Let's call them that.
See, I don't it sounds like those a little at bit all. More luxurious. I think those are the most effeminate things you can do.
Well,
the high quality leather ones. I don't go for that. Okay, but but for your sake, you're saying like high quality, like those are nice sandals, and you're wearing them with like a Miami getup.
I just don't get why we have this idea of like slacks versus shorts or shoes versus flip-flops, and one is definitively better than the other. Like, we live in a hot fucking city. It's probably 100 degrees outside right now. We're recording this at what, 9:30 in the morning? It's probably already that warm. To me, that's one of the things that's always bothered me. And this is something that I've learned, like going from bar to bar here in Houston. There have been times where I've worn really nice getups, but I'm wearing shorts and I can't get into somewhere because I'm wearing shorts. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I look better in these shorts and in this shirt, which is like a button down, than that fucker who just walked in.
You're thinking that because we live in this climate, at this latitude, we should have more of a beach culture than we do. Like, it's almost like we abide by northern cities rules when it comes to climate. And it is, like, when you walk around the city of Houston, even though a lot of people outside of Houston think it's all cowboy hats and everything, like, no, it looks like you're seeing people business casual. Business casual, right. You're not dressing up in a three-piece suit when it's 100 degrees out, but it's very business casual, where when you go to, like...
Still wearing a shirt and tie,
You go to Orlando or Miami, you see a lot more just, it's accepted that you're going to be wearing a floral print shirt and some shorts somewhere.
Yeah,
like, including, like, nice restaurants. You go and you're wearing, like those nice leather sandals that you talked about.
If the floral print shirts are a little bit too casual, I just feel that we have... you're right. Like, there's this northern style that we all are adhering to, and I don't. I think it should vary. I think style should vary city to city.
But then, what do you go? If you go southwest, if you go to like Phoenix and everything, there you got people wearing jeans in the heat. I know it's a dry heat, but God, it's 107
right.
degrees.
Again, like that sounds like a terrible, terrible time. I think if
we're much, and we have to remember too. I don't think fashion's caught up with just how fat we all are now. I'm really,
but again,
like, I'm looking at these. I was looking at this old thing from World War II, and it was listing the weights of different service members, like in this platoon when they went through basic training. Like every single one of them was like 155 pounds. These guys could just flat out. You could wear a wool suit in the summer when you weighed 155 pounds.
That's true. You'd still be sweating your balls off, and you better smoke a lot of tobacco so that you don't smell.
Well, they were
awful.
All, yeah, and that was the thing too. They were all smoking all the time.
All the time.
Not all of them, but a lot of
them. Well, I think most of them, a lot of them smoked like to keep mosquitoes away and so that they would smell slightly better.
Away.
Yeah, yeah.
And their breath too.
Oh boy.
Yeah, back when hygiene wasn't as good, smoking might have dulled the senses too. It dulled your taste and smell. So like your best gal who hadn't showered in a fortnight because you had to ladle water into a bucket to do it. It didn't bother you as much. Paul, it's been a pleasure.
It's been
fun. We'll round up next week and see how all these quarterbacks, who, you know, most of whom will end up sucking, end up doing in week one of the preseason.
I like
Thanks,
it.
Buddy.
No problem.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.